The Bible reading this morning is from Exodus chapter 19, verses 1 to 8. If you'd like to follow that, you can find it on page 73 in the church Bibles. Exodus chapter 19 and from verse 1. On the first day of the third month, after the Israelites left Egypt, on that very day they came to the desert of Sinai. After they set out from Rephidim, they entered the desert of Sinai, and Israel camped there in the desert in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, "This is what you are to say to the house of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites." So Moses went back and summoned the elders of the people and set before them all the words the Lord had commanded him to speak. Then the people all responded together, "We will do everything the Lord has said." So Moses brought their answer back to the Lord.
I wonder what comes into your mind when I mention the word priest. Sometimes we think of holy people, special people who pray on behalf of others, who make sacrifices. Sometimes we think of people who possibly are so heavenly minded they're not of much earthly use. But let me ask you, when I mentioned the word priest, did you think he's talking about me? I am a priest. You may not call yourself the reverend, but the Bible tells us that we're all priests if we're in the kingdom of God. How come? Well, it dates back to the time of Moses and the covenant agreement that God made with the people at Sinai. God had made previous covenants with Adam, with Noah, with Abraham, land, offspring, and blessing. And now he makes his covenant with the people at Sinai. We read about it, as we've just read about it, in Exodus 19. Verses 4 and 5. In return for their obedience, which they freely said they would give, they would become a treasured possession, a kingdom of priests, and a holy nation. God was saying to them, "You will be my special people." There was always going to be a priestly class, those people who were set aside to do the sacrifices, to teach, to act as judges and mediate between God and people. And they had to be special people. They had to belong to one tribe. They had to not do the job till they were 30. It was a male-only priesthood. There were certain conditions that were put on who could be a priest in terms of that priestly class. But God had said he wanted the whole nation to be priests. You are a nation of priests. God wanted the whole people of God to demonstrate to the nations round about them God's holiness to all and sundry in the nations round about them. Well, so what, I hear you ask? That's about the Old Testament. We're New Testament people, so how's that Old Testament stuff got anything to do with us? The interesting thing is, this same description is used of Christians in 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and 10, where we read almost identical words. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So there you are. Whether you call yourself the reverend, which from today on you can, because you now know you're a priest. You can add it to your CV, I am a reverend. I am a priest. We have a new identity in Christ, part of which is that you are a priest in God's kingdom. Three things follow from that. Firstly, you ought to just dwell for a moment on your special status in God. You are chosen. You are precious. You are God's treasured possession. I just like reading that part of Scripture, being reminded that God treasures me. I don't know whether that means much to you, but the fact that God has called you out of darkness into his kingdom, that you are treasured to him, should really fill you with joy. If that's the only thing you remember from today, if you go out these doors saying, I'm treasured and loved by God, then you have learnt and been reminded of something really good. I mean, you treasure things. What do you do with the things and people that you treasure? They are very precious to you. One of the people I treasure is sitting right here in the front seat. But I have other treasures in my house. I've got things that I've collected over the years, things my kids and grandkids have sent me, little cards where they've said beautiful things. I'm sentimental enough to have collected some of those and put them in a little box, which my kids used to call Dad's treasure box. I mean, it's got my will in there now, so it really is a treasure box. But there are little cards that they wrote on Father's Day, and they're beautiful. And every time when I am hunting around for a birth certificate or something, I read these little cards. And then in other parts of our house, we've got treasures that we've brought back from our trips around the world. And I look at that and I think, I know where I got that. I know who gave it to me. It's very precious. The first thing to dwell on is that because you belong to God, you are treasured. Treasured by God. Let that sink in and let that fill your hearts with great joy. The second thing is, if we are priests in the kingdom of God, we have unfettered access to drawing near to God. We have a priestly role. Priests had a role drawing near to God, praying to God on behalf of others, a kind of mediation role. Only the high priest could enter the Holy of Holies behind the curtain, which symbolically separated God from the people. And he only went in there once a year and actually put a cord around his waist with a bell. In case he had a heart attack in there, they could drag him out. But that was the Holy of Holies. What we now discover is that Jesus Christ has opened a way through that curtain. We now have access to God, unfettered access. Those of you who work in companies where you get that special badge, sort of gives you access to all areas, will know what I'm talking about. When I went to work for the Diocese of Sydney as the Archdeacon of Western Sydney, I was given my badge. It meant I could just go into St. Andrew's House, straight through the door. I had access to the Archbishop of the day. I could just go in there, and if he wasn't busy, I could sit down and have a cup of tea. I didn't need anybody to direct me there. I had access. You know what it's like if you've got that sort of access in your company? That little tag hanging around your neck gives you that authority. Jesus Christ has given you and I the authority to have unfettered access to God. There's a story told of a soldier in the American War, a Union soldier, who had a desperate message and a need to see President Lincoln. He tried to convey, he wanted to convey this message to him, and they brushed him away because he didn't have the correct authority. He was refused entry to the president's office. He was sitting in the park just opposite when a young man walked along, saw him looking a bit downcast, and said, "What's the problem?" He said, "Well, I want to see President Lincoln. I've got a message for him, and I'm not allowed to see him." And the fellow said, "Come with me." He took him straight through the front door of the White House, through to the Oval Office, and President Lincoln looked up and greeted him and said, "How are you, Todd?" It was Robert Todd Lincoln, the son of the president. And he said, "I'm well, I've brought this fellow. He wants to talk to you." Because he knew the son, the soldier had unfettered access to the president. You and I have access to God. Therefore, we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way. And similarly in chapter 4, "Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence to receive mercy and grace and find help in our time of need." Here is our priestly role. It's a priestly role of interceding for others. Which brings me to ask the first question of you. Who are you interceding for at the moment? Are you praying for anyone to become a Christian? Is there anybody on your list? Some years ago, the church put 3,500 pavers out in front of the foyer and under the sails. You might not have been here then, but under each one of those pavers was the name of a non-Christian. And people were encouraged to pray for that person. So if you were here then, my question is, are you still interceding for that person? Do you have members of your family who do not know Jesus? Do you have people that you know in your street who do not know Jesus? Who is your priestly ministry of intercession being directed to? Or you're a priest and you're basking in the fact that you're God's treasured possession, but you're not pulling your weight in the priestly role of praying for other people. What a privilege we have to go straight into God's presence through Christ. But are you praying for people? Some years ago in this diocese, we had a prayer program that ran through the diocese for a while. And one of the challenges of that prayer program was for each person to have a list of 3 or 4 or 5 people who they would covenant to pray for day in, day out, and remember regularly. People who did not know the Lord Jesus. So I want to challenge you in your priestly role to think about that. One of the things that happened when Moses made that agreement with God, and the first people of God in the Old Testament, they were to be priests, and the whole nation were to be priests. This is repeated for us in 1 Peter. We are also a nation of priests. We are meant to be doing something in the world in which we live. Who are you interceding for? To pray for others is your priestly privilege. So, we have another priestly role. We have a new status. We have an interceding role. But we also have to offer up sacrifices to God. Now, what sort of sacrifices will you offer? We don't come here Sunday by Sunday and bring lambs, oxen, doves, food offerings to offer them to God. Those days are long gone. What the Bible tells us is that as priests, we're to offer spiritual sacrifices. The first one is the sacrifice of praise. This morning when we came, we worshipped together, what we were offering was a sacrifice of praise to God. The fruit of lips that acknowledge His name, as it tells us in Hebrews 13. We must continue to do that because as the people of God, coming to praise Him together is the first of our priestly duties. To be praising God, but praying for others, praising Him when we come together. But the one that I want to focus on in the last part of this sermon this morning is this. We are to live such lives that we witness to the community around about us. In Romans 12 it said, "I appeal to you therefore to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, that is your spiritual worship." Now when you think about it, a living sacrifice is a contradiction in terms. Normally you kill the sacrifice as part of the deal. But you and I are called to be living sacrifices. That is, living to God but dead to self is really what the apostle is trying to teach us in this phrase. We are being called to present ourselves as living sacrifices, living such lives, as we're reminded in the 1 Peter chapter, live such good lives among the non-believers that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. You and I are called to witness to a world that does not know Christ. We're a regional church here, as you know. We draw on at least a 10-kilometre radius. 500,000 people live in it, of which, at a sort of a rough guess, 400,000 of them don't know of a God who loves them. They don't know of a Saviour who died for them. There are 400 people with a ticket to a Christless eternity. And when they die, they cash that ticket in unless someone tells them about the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the offering the priestly witness to those people by the way we live. How are we going to do that? Well, we need to live such good lives. That's what the Bible says. It's pretty clear. Part of what we do might be to bring them here, to put on such programs that we think we'll try and get them here. But that's only part of the thing. We know that found people find people. We've been reminded of that in the last month. And if we've been found by God, we have a responsibility to find others, to live in such a way that our neighbours will sit up and notice. Too often, nobody notices any difference between the way we Christians go about our life. Used to be an old saying once, if you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? And you see, people in our streets say, well, yeah, he lives a sort of a good life, but he's like me, but he's, I can't see any great need to be going to church, to be believing in the God he or she believes in. The Bible keeps on encouraging us that part of our priestly role is to live such good lives among non-believers that they will want to talk to us and they'll be attracted to saying, I want what you've got. And that's what we need to do. Let the community. So it's not a matter of just in drag into this building. It's a matter of going out there day in and day out to live for Jesus as part of our priestly role. When you think of Adam, we were reminded to think of our potential as human beings, all that we can be in God. When we're thinking about Abraham, we're thinking about faith and promise and how God promised to bless the faithful and how we belong to God through Abraham, we are children of faith. When you think of Moses, I want you to think priest, priestly role, the whole nation of God being priests, the whole people of God being priests who have a priestly role given by God in the community in which we live, in the street in which you live, in the workplace in which you work, to be God's person. You're a treasured person in Christ. You're a person who has a role to intercede for others, and you're a person who has the responsibility to be a priest in your community, to offer spiritual sacrifices of a life dedicated to holiness in order that people might see you and want to glorify God and come to know Jesus. So when you think of Moses, think priest. When you think of priest, just don't think of John Gray or Eric or any other great holy people we might have here this morning. Think of yourself. Say, priest, I'm a priest. I'm part of the priesthood of all believers, and I want to be God's priest where I am. Let's pray for a moment. Father, you've given us a big responsibility, not just to become a Christian and sit down and just enjoy being a Christian in one way, but not really wanting to live out in the community, not really wanting to be somewhere where our light can shine. where our spiritual sacrifices can be observed by others. Father, we pray that you'll help us to think of ourselves as your people in the world in which we live. Help us to think about those people for whom we can pray, those people who do not know you, those people in this area, in our street, in our community. Help us to belong to things in the community and not get so busy just in things in this church that we've got no one to let shine our light before. Help us to think about community and to being God's people to the people around about us. Father, just give us a heart for that, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.